We made this.
Welcome to the Starlight Ballroom. Hey!
Hello and welcome to Shipwrecked and Comatose, the podcast about Red Dwarf, right here on the We Made This podcast network. My name's Mark and I am your regular host, and with me at this time is no one, because I'm doing a very brief intro to a special episode that we've got for you this week. As you may know, I present another podcast called Ink Stories, which is a podcast about the stories behind people's tattoos. And this is kind of a cheap plug, but it is Red Dwarf related. I interviewed a gentleman called Raphael Clarkson, who I met at Hollyhop a few months back. He has a Red Dwarf tattoo. And as cool as that is for Ink Stories, I thought it might be something that the listeners to Shipwrecked and Comatose might like to have a listen to as well. What I've also done is I've done a little bit of a extra bonus for you Shipwrecked and Comatose listeners, and I did a little addition where I spoke to Raf and asked him our usual officer's exam questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a bit of a cut and a paste and an edit, and I'm going to put in his officer's interview first, then I'm going to add his Ink Stories interview at the end of the podcast. So you've got a cheeky little extra episode in between series that I thought you might like. Okay, so first up is the officer's exam. So before we get on to the Ink Stories cut and paste and splice and edit, I thought what I'd do is, just for Shipwrecked and Comatose, is have a chat with Raf about his fandom of Red Dwarf. So we're going to use our standard officer's exam questions. So, Raf, are you ready?
Yep, ready as I'll ever be.
Promise you they're not difficult, apart from the final question.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so first up is, when did you discover Red Dwarf, or what's your first memory of the show?
Good question. I would have been about 8 years old, and I can't remember what episode it was. I have a feeling it would have actually been around the time that new episodes were coming out. So possibly Series 8, which means that I might have been a bit older. But I have a feeling that my dad, who was already a great fan, was very excited about new episodes coming out. And I think tried to get me up to speed with the existing series that he had on VHS. So it's a sort of around 8-9 years old, a blur of kind of remembering the scenes from series one, and then I'm sure very soon after remembering episodes like Pete part one and two and all of that. But I feel like I watched a lot in a short space of time and then was hooked, you know.
Brilliant. So what is your favorite episode?
So tough, but if I have to choose one, and I can't choose a three-way tie, I'm going to choose Marooned. I think it's just, and it's maybe a controversial choice because it doesn't have much of the cat and Crichton and Holly, but I think the depth of kind of emotion in it and kind of how deeply you go into the characters of Lister and Rimmer, and it just sort of so beautifully encapsulates that kind of antagonism yet camaraderie that's at the heart of the whole show. I think it's an amazing piece of writing.
It's an excellent episode. I think for me the controversy might be that there's so many fucking flubs that it drives me crazy, but you're right about the emotion. And I think what's key for me in that episode is that it kind of shows you how flawed Lister is and how decent Rimmer can be. And it really does kind of expand and enrich both of their characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, they become so much more nuanced and rounded from that episode. And I agree.
So what's your favourite season of Red Dwarf?
Gosh. Well, maybe I can go for Now, this is embarrassing. I'm going to probably get the season wrong that this is in, but I'm pretty sure it's season 6, which has Gunman of the Apocalypse. Am I right?
It absolutely is, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll probably go for that season because of that episode. That would be one of my favourite episodes for a second choice. But I think, yeah, I just have great memories of wide range of adventures from that season, and particularly that episode.
Gunman's my favourite episode. So we're in good company, I think. So, again, all of these are actually quite difficult when you're a massive fan. Who's your favourite character in the show?
Yes, that is hard. I think I will go for Lister. That's partly why which I think we've already mentioned, the Holly Hop script that I was lucky to be part of and playing the role of Lister. It's why I auditioned for Lister. I think it's probably, you kind of identify with his kind of existentialism and, and also the whole kind of, him being a kind of a, I just love the sort of mixture of being a complete sort of slob, but also this kind of chivalric kind of like noble character as well, who's got really kind of strong morals. Yeah, I think it's got to be Lister for me. Yeah.
And what is your favourite moment in the entire show's run? I said they get progressively difficult, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, oh goodness. That's very hard. but actually, you know what? When we did the, we just answered some questions for the official fan club like web page when we got these parts to do the Holly Hop script. And I think my mind instantly goes to what is also one of my favorite lines, which is in Ticker to Ride. And it's, when Crichton has had his etiquette, is it etiquette chip removed?
Right.
And where he sort of says, well, sir, you've brought the 20th century to the very brink of annihilation. Gum. For me, that's always been one of the moments that makes me laugh the hardest. So maybe I'll choose that just because it's a moment that my mind instantly goes to and makes me laugh a lot. And one of my favorite lines. So I'll give that as my favorite moment. Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said about Robert Llewellyn's delivery as Crichton. He's just so good. And you can see the difference between series 3 and then everything else he does, where he is so confident and happy to be in the role. And you're right. I think Gum is just a wonderful, wonderful Crichton moment.
It's also closely followed in that episode by, that's not chicken, sir. It's that man we found, I think what's really nice is they start playing around with the nature of Crichton being mechanoid and being able to be programmed differently. And Robert Llewellyn just embraces all of those different ways of playing the same character so beautifully. And yeah, as you say, his delivery, so good in that episode and in general. Yeah.
And now it's the final question. Are you ready?
Oh God, I thought that was the last one.
No.
Okay, go on. No, go on. Go on. I'm ready.
Would you like some toast?
You know what? I would like some toast, actually. I really would. I might go and make some for myself.
Brilliant. Get on it, Raph. Thank you so much for joining us for this extra bit on Shipwrecked and Comatose.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So that was your little extra officer's exam additional bit to add to my interview with Raph about his tattoo. And that's all I'm going to say, really. I'm going to sign off. But before we get to the Ink Stories interview with Raph, a very brief message from our boss, the head honcho of We Made This, Tony. So until next time,
Hello, everyone. This is Tony, network chief of We Made This. As you know, our podcast network brings together a brilliant assortment of talent who talk about all kinds of pop culture content, such as the episode you've just listened to, or maybe you're just about to listen to. We're not going anywhere, but we'd love to keep the lights on for even longer if you're able to support our network on Patreon. For just £2 a month, you get your name in lights and the satisfaction of knowing you're helping us produce more great audio. And for £3 a month, you'll get your name in lights, but you'll also get access to an exclusive bi-monthly podcast from the We Made This talent pool on podcasting, pop culture, and, well, you tell us. We'll take your suggestions. For less than the price of a coffee per month, you can help keep We Made This going. Just head to patreon.com/WeMadeThis. That's patreon.com/WeMadeThis. And get the ball rolling. Now, back to your scheduled programming.
Ink Stories is sponsored by Jungle Tattoo Supplies, stockists and distributors of all the top brand tattoo supplies you'll ever need. Established in 2014, Jungle Tattoo Supplies distribute to licensed tattoo studios across the UK and Europe and are an ethical company who support the World Wildlife Fund and Air Ambulance. Visit their website at jungletattoosupplies.co.uk. Follow them on Twitter at jungle_TS and like them on Facebook at Jungle Tattoo Supplies. Hello and welcome to Ink Stories, the podcast about the stories behind people's tattoos. My name's Mark and I have quite a lot of tattoos, but not as many as I would like. My guest at this time is Raphael Clarkson. Hello, Raph.
Hello.
Welcome to Ink Stories. You are the only person in this first series that, well, frankly, I don't know. And I very cheekily randomly messaged you. Do you want to maybe explain how that happened?
Yeah, so that happened because I was part of the Red Dwarf online convention called Holly Hop 2021. And you, Mark, I believe, were watching as an attendee of this event.
Yes, indeed.
So we are both big Red Dwarf fans. And I'd been very lucky to win a competition to read as one of the read a new script as one of the characters. I was playing Lister, originally played by Craig Charles. And we read the script, which was online as part of the event. Five fans, in fact, had been lucky to win this sort of competition and read this script. And we were doing a Q&A afterwards, and somebody asked, I think, everybody what their favourite Red Dwarf possession was. And I showed my Red Dwarf tattoo. Which is, and I think that's after that, I got a message via one of the organisers from you, Mark, and then I got in touch and here we are.
Well, when you got your tat out on the camera, I was like, ding, I want him. And I also want to correct you a little bit. There's no winning a competition. There is successfully getting the part in an audition.
Sure.
I think you don't give yourself enough credit there.
Well, sure, I don't know. I just felt it was a great joy and very lucky to do it. So, yeah, it's winning competition, getting the part. I feel like I won something to be able to do that. So,
fair enough. I think as the weekend went, we are very lucky that we can do stuff like that at the moment. And for me, at least, it was a massive tonic in a time where I'm just sat at home, not doing as much as I'd like. Yeah. And everyone was brilliant. And it's something that we'll never see anywhere else. And that's fantastic.
Yeah, it felt quite special to be part of this standalone little story that, as you say, it won't be it won't exist anywhere else apart from there in that moment with all of those big Red Dwarf fans like yourself watching. And yeah, it was a really special thing to be part of. And knowing friends and, for me, family watching and being very excited about it, Yeah, it was, it, as you say, it was a lovely thing to be able to connect with people in that way at a time when connection is quite hard.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's get into it. Before we talk about your tattoo, tell me about you. Tell me what makes you interesting.
Well, I suppose I'm very lucky that my job is also my passion, I guess. I'm a musician. I play the trombone. I'm also a composer and arranger, and I do a lot of... I'm very lucky to do a big range of kind of stuff, from playing trombone in bands and in gigs, although not at the moment because there's no live music.
Yeah.
But also I do a lot of work making music with communities, with school children, with community groups, creating music for them. So I write quite a lot of music for children to sing. And brilliant. I've been lucky to do that over the last year quite a bit. And I also, I run a few of my own bands and projects, one of which is called Equal Spirits. You can look at equalspirits.com. And it's a kind of inspired by South African jazz and South African musicians that came over to the UK as exiles due to apartheid, and made a huge contribution to the music scene in the UK. And so I've recently been making an album, been able to work on that while not much else is going on, making an album of my music with South African musicians, recording remotely. And that will come out some point this year. So you can look out for Equal Spirits. That's my main project at the moment that I'm trying to get done.
Brilliant stuff. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to know more?
You can look at my website, which is www.raffclarkson.com. I'm also on Twitter as @RaffClarkson, and that's R-A-P-H, Raff Clarkson. And my Instagram is @RaphaelClarkson. I'm a bit more active on Twitter. I'm still getting my head around how to use things like Instagram.
Yeah, I'm not fond of Instagram. I had to have one for this show, but I refuse to do it for anything else.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, occasionally I'll post something on there. So, yeah.
Okay, well, let's get into it. How many tattoos do you have? Or if you have too many, can you estimate the percentage of coverage on your body?
I've got 5 tattoos. I've got 5. So I started getting tattoos when I was about 5 years ago, and it was just sort of one by one, I guess. So not huge coverage, but I'm definitely got the bug, so to speak. So, but the latest one is the Red Dwarf one, yeah.
And that's the one you've decided to talk about today. Describe it for me.
Yeah. So it's on my upper right arm, and it's kind of about a hand's length across, so it kind of wraps around the arm, and it is an artist's, the tattoo artist actually designed in response to the Red Dwarf ship, the big red monolith that is the Red Dwarf ship. So I kind of I wanted something that looked a bit like a slightly blueprinty kind of version of the Red Dwarf ship, and that was a tattoo artist's kind of interpretation of it. So I basically gathered as many images of that Red Dwarf ship, whether it was model shots from, you know, the original series and that original panning out in the original series one opening credits, to various other bits of sort of digital artwork and some fan artwork that you can find on the internet, and sort of gave those to him and said, could you make something that obviously is this ship, but it's your own kind of take on it? And yeah, he did an amazing job. So it's this kind of big red ship that wraps around my upper right arm. Yeah.
So what's the story behind it? Why did you get a tattoo of Red Dwarf?
So it kind of links back to partly why I ended up, you know, auditioning for this this part that I got or won that we were talking about earlier. So Red Dwarf has been a huge part of my family really since I was about 8 years old, partly because my dad was a big sci-fi enthusiast, and he started introducing us to Red Dwarf when I was about 8. We had all the VHSs, and so it was kind of part of the family vocabulary already. When my mum passed away when I was about 15, and my siblings were 12 and 8. And one of the things, so it was a tough time for us, as it would be for anyone. But one of the main things that we did for the 2 months after that happened was to all sleep in the same room and pretty much watch Red Dwarf every night.
Wow.
And from there on after, it was a kind of family. It was like, if we wanted to do something together, something that would make us just feel good or relax, it would be stick on another Red Dwarf. My dad actually would routinely, he had trouble sleeping, but routinely he would try and get to sleep by just sticking on a Red Dwarf DVD every night, pretty much, and that's how he would get to sleep. Not to say that it wasn't entertaining, but it was the but it was more, it was so familiar by that point that it was a kind of comfort to him. So you could often routinely, you'd hear it still playing and go into his room and he'd be asleep and there would be, you know, so. And then yes, tragically, my dad passed away last year, and you know, too young really. He was 66 and had a lot more left to give. But you know, up until right, you know, all of the kind of perhaps dark humor he had while he was in hospital, there was so many Red Dwarf quotations going around. It was still, you know, and after he died, you know, well, in fact, he was in hospital when Ed By and Paul Jackson and Rob Grant were doing these directors' kind of commentaries online, and he was watching those in hospital. So I felt like getting something that would remember my dad in a fond and sort of positive way, and something connected to Red Dwarf felt really good to me. It felt like something that, because it's always been something that we've all connected with laughter and joy and positivity. So I thought, I had that idea and I thought, yes, I love that. I'm going to do that. And it's great. It's something that I can look at and think about my dad in a positive, happy way. And it represents that whole Red Dwarf universe that's kind of continued to give us all, me and my family, especially now that he's passed away, very fond memories, you know. And we were lucky, actually, as a family, my siblings and my dad, to go. We went for the first time to the last convention that was possible in Nottingham and met everybody, and, you know, and so, yeah, it's a happy memorial of my dad and the Red Dwarf universe that sort of connects us.
That's amazing. I mean, I have a Buffy tattoo and a Doctor Who tattoo because I like Buffy and because I like Doctor Who. It wasn't any more deep than that. And for you to associate that with family, and it's a gorgeous piece. That's a fantastic story.
Oh, thank you. No, it's it's a special one for me. Yeah.
Right. I want you to shout out your artist because he did a brilliant job. Who did it and where can we find him or her?
Yeah, his name is Alex Alvarado. Alex Alvarado, and he works at and I think runs a place called Santo Cuervo Tattoo, and you can find that at santocuervotattoo.com, and they're based in North London on Green Lanes. So if you were to type in Santo, S-A-N-T-O, Cuervo, C-U-E-R-V-O, tattoo.com, that's who did it. Yeah, and I didn't know him before, but I was looking for somewhere local, because that always feels good to support, you know, local artists. Mm. And when I sent him, you know, the whole step, every part of the process, sending him the idea, him then, you know, the design that he sent back, it was just, he totally got it. He wasn't aware of Red Dwarf before, but I think, you know, when I got there, we talked about it a bit, and he'd done his research, you know, so he showed his care for the piece and for what I wanted. And he was great, really good.
Brilliant. I think what I love about a lot of tattoo artists is you go to them with an idea, but if you're not like, I want a feather with seagulls flying away from it, you give them something that they can play with, that they quite often will grab that by the horns and kind of run with it and come up with something way beyond your expectations.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I really like that part of the artist having a creative input. I actually quite find that exciting, not knowing exactly what it's going to be. I think that's cool. I think, you know, it's their contribution in terms of their skill to A, design the thing, and then B, to make it look good on your skin with the way that your body and your skin works, you know, and I love seeing that sort of skill come to life. Yeah.
Raf, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing your ink story.
My pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Ink Stories. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Ink Stories Pod. The show's logo was designed by Carl Bryan, and the theme tune is We've Been Watching the Riots on a Monitor by Fix It Kid.
Shipwrecked and Comatose, a Red Dwarf podcast, was created and produced by Mark Adams and Kurt North. You can find us on Twitter at Red Dwarf Pod, and we are part of the We Made This Podcast Network, which can be found online at wemadethispod.com or on Twitter at We Made This Pod.
Hello, everyone. This is Tony, Network Chief of We Made This. As you know, our podcast network brings together a brilliant assortment of talent who talk about all kinds of pop culture content, such as the episode you've just listened to. We're not going anywhere, but we'd love to keep the lights on for even longer if you're able to support our network on Patreon. For just £2 a month, you get your name in lights and the satisfaction of knowing you're helping us produce more great audio. And for £3 a month, you'll get your name in lights, but you'll also get access to an exclusive bi-monthly podcast from the We Made This talent pool on podcasting, pop culture, and, well, you tell us. We'll take your suggestions. For less than the price of a coffee per month, you can help keep We Made This going. Just head to patreon.com/WeMadeThis. That's patreon.com/WeMadeThis. And get the ball rolling.
Elsewhere on We Made This.
Frame to frame.
I'm going to wind you up and go now. Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy.
Oh my God, give me that Oscar right now. I'll put some grits on a breakfast plate and go on and have barbecue because it's absolutely amazing.
Like, literally like that all the way through it. Like, it's just crackers.
Didn't she win the Razzie as well?
I think she, oh my God, I got a Razzie, go with my Oscar nomination. That's what we got down here in Alabama.
Like that. Just,
my days.
Pick a disc.
One of my favourite Tom DeLonge like verses is the second verse, because it's the bit where, okay, like where I think the kind of like adds an extra layer, I think, of synths throughout the back, is where he goes, where are you now? I hear footsteps.
Yeah.
And there's just a bit in the music which, and it's for someone who doesn't take notice of music and stuff, it's like, it's a big thing when I notice that. It's just like this extra layer that kicks in, the extra layer of something. I've never been able to pinpoint what it is that kicks in just as the where are you now bit appears.
Oh, okay.
In the childhood,
the term benders
was affectionately used on more than one occasion.
So Doc
and
Croc
always gave us a giggle,
referred to the viewers as his benders, and at no point do I think that this was a
not
dig at gay people, or do I think that it was deliberately supposed to be controversial using a hate term, but I don't feel like they would do it now.
It was so funny. And obviously it's like around the... It's like... It's these kind of shows, you know, you have fan names for them. And Benders is a good one to have. But it was just... We laughed every time. We can't deny it.
Every time Doc Croc said Benders, we looked at each other and grinned. And I'm like, I'm 42 and you're 24 and we're laughing at the word Benders.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This Podcast Network.